following is the President's speech at Waco, Texas, Monday, September 27, 1948.
The congressman from this district, Governor Jester, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow Democrats. You know, it's a great privilege to me to come back here to Waco once again. One of the proudest moments of my life was in March 1947. When your great Beto University conferred the degree of Doctor of Laws on me. So if you want to, you have a perfect right to address me as Dr. Truman as well as President Truman. Especially good to see so many of my Texas friends and acquaintances as I go across this great state. Your able and distinguished governor and Mrs. Jester met us at El Paso, and they've been with us constantly ever since, and we've had some very pleasant times together. Your state is a wonderful one, and I don't have to tell you that, because you all know it and you're always talking about it. But at every city where we've stopped, we've been received just as you have received us this morning. It's almost incredible that this reception could keep up all the way across the country and all the way back, and the enthusiasm is just as great now as it was in the beginning. I guess the people are standing on the track over there and you can't get through.
No,
The congressman says that's a Republican engineer, but I don't believe you are any. Waco's a fine example of the prosperity that comes to an American city when there's full employment in the factories and shops, and when the farmers in the surrounding countryside are prosperous. You people here in Waco, and Americans like you in other parts of the country, would be enjoying your prosperity a great deal more if it weren't for such high prices. I suggested back there in Temple a while ago that if we could just move those prices into some of the hospitals back there and amputate them, we'd be all right, but we can't do it that way. I've been fighting ever since I took office for a sound and permanent post-war prosperity. That's all in the world my ambition has been, is peace in the world and continued prosperity at home. Republicans in Congress have persistently been sabotaging the best interests of the people of this country by refusing to pass laws which benefit all the people. They are a special interest Congress. They've done absolutely nothing for the people since they've been in session, but they've done a lot to them, I can tell you, and I've been telling the country about it, and you're beginning to wake up. The farmers and the laboring men and the small businessmen are just now beginning to find out what Republican policy really means. It's coming right home to you. I've called the Republican 80th Congress back into special session twice and urged them to pass laws to control high prices. Well, they did nothing about it at all. But they're now issuing a lot of false propaganda about the causes of inflation. They can tell you all about what causes inflation, but they won't tell you that there would have been no inflation if the Republican 80th Congress had passed the laws I asked in the past. You know, all I can do as President of the United States is to suggest to the Congress certain legislative acts which I think are good for the country and good for the people. And then the Congress goes on and does as it pleases. It either passes those laws and gives me a chance to sign them, or it does nothing, or it sends me a law I can't sign. Since I've been President of the United States, I've vetoed 61 bills that I thought were not in the public interest. They're telling the people in the city that we have high prices because the farmers are getting too much for their crops. They tell us the farmers that we have inflation because the factory workers are getting too much pay. Well, now let me tell you something. The farmers, under the Democratic administration, have had the greatest income they've ever had in the history of the world. They've received better prices for their produce than ever before in the history of the world. And the wage earners have received the best pay they've ever received in the history of this country or any other country. And there's 61 million people at work in this country, something unheard of, something that everybody said was impossible. What I want to do is to keep that balance. When the farmers are prosperous and getting good prices for their goods and for their produce, and the wage earners are getting good pay for what they do, that means that everybody's getting a fair share of the national income. In 1940, we had the biggest income that the world has ever seen, $217 billion. Nothing like it ever heard of before in the world. And that income was so distributed that nearly everybody got his fair share of it. Well, now, that's not what the Republicans want. They don't want the workers to have good pay. They don't want the farmers to have good prices for their goods. They're pulling the floor out from under the farmers right now. And if you give them a chance by sending a Republican Congress back there the next time in charge of the same old gang that ran the 80th Congress, the farmers won't have anything left. They'll make slaves out of the workers and be right back where they were in 1932. Is that what you want? All right, then. My advice to you is to go to the polls on election day and send Lyndon Johnson to the Senate. Elect your able congressman here again. And be sure you keep the good governor in the same place where he is. I know you're going to do that. I wonder how you'd like to meet my family. All right, I'll introduce Miss Truman first. For the benefit of you people, for around in front of the car, they're going to stay on the platform until the train pulls out and you have a chance to see them. This is my daughter Margaret. Now I have another great privilege. I want to present the First Lady of Texas, Ms. Jester. Oh, that was a big eye.